Great episode here. Got a double dip with Johnny Owens of Owens Recovery Science. Sponsors this program. PACER is a program with multiple components of the American Physical Therapy Association coming together to figure out what we know and what we can do as a profession to best educate ourselves to battle COVID. This is a moment for our profession right here. You should feel the hair on your arms stand up. This is our jam. Our profession's about to get into the game even more than we already are. So first half of the show is Johnny Owens and Larry Cahalan of the University of Miami talking about their addition to this PACER program. Again, this PACER program, online CEU course for free by the APTA, and a vast litany of topics, a huge menu of topics, and blood flow restriction training is one of them, how you can apply it with these patients post-COVID. Larry and Johnny talk about BFR and its application there. Second half of the show, we keep Johnny around to talk about Project 11. That's a new special coming out on ESPN. Well, tonight, Friday, May 1st, as we record, you'll be able to see it. Stefania Bell, yeah, head injury analyst for ESPN, physical therapist, friend of the show. She tells the story of number 11, Alex Smith, a really gruesome injury on the football field. We get into the specifics. Seth Blee, one of the physical therapists taking care of Alex Smith in the D.C. area, another former guest in this show, and Johnny Owens. Involved in that, in applying BFR. So you got to dig into this episode, people. It's PT, it's deep, it's COVID, it is professional sports, it's all over. Get interested. Want to say thanks again to our sponsor, Owens Recovery Science, bringing you this and each and every episode. If you're thinking about adding blood flow restriction rehabilitation training to your clinical practice and you want to do it the right way, do it properly, Johnny and his team, as you'll hear in this episode, are the leaders in doing that. OwensRecoveryScience.com. Let's get into today's show.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world.
It is.
This is the PT Pinecast. May I introduce...
Please allow me to introduce you to...
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
All right, welcome to the show right now, bringing back another guest and sponsor of the show, Johnny Owens of Owens Recovery Science. Johnny, welcome back to the program, man.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good to be here, man.
And cheers to Larry Cahalan. Larry, welcome to the show. University of Miami, board certified in cardiopulmonary clinical specialists, and you're at the U.
At the U. Yes, sir. Nice to meet you.
Cheers to you guys. Thanks for coming on the show. Wanted to bring you guys back on because busy working with a project that I'm going to guess came together really, really quickly because it had to. And that is the PACER project. I'm sure some of the audience has been seeing it online. You see that acronym. Let's get into what it means. And first of all, good on you guys for actually finding a cool acronym that hit all the major points of the project. PACER does it. Sounds kind of cool, right? Post-acute COVID-19 exercise and rehabilitation. Rehabilitation project. Kind of encompasses everything there. Multiple APTA components coming together, cardiovascular, acute care, just to name a few. We'll get into what different things you can expect from there because it's going to be a bunch of components. It's in the format of a CEU online course, right? That's kind of how it's being distributed.
Yeah.
And it's free to members, and we call them potential members, future hopeful members.
There you go.
With the American Physical Therapy Association. And this is why, this is a cheap plug for me to say why I'm a member of the APTA. Something that's important, the APTA puts a ton of, and the people that put forth this content and created it with them, put a ton of effort into it. And then we gave it away for free because we realized this is landmark. This is monumental. We need to create this as a profession. This is what we plant our flag in. So now that we got kind of the high level out of the way, Larry, you're involved in this. How'd you get dragged into this mess and helping create this PACER content?
Well, I did not come up with the acronym. I have to acknowledge that Angela Campbell and Ellen Hillegas, if I'm not mistaken, were probably drinking a beer, just like you and Johnny. I'm drinking water. To make a long story short, I think they were trying to think about a nice acronym and a way to get education to people who were in need of it. In a matter of, I'd say, a day or two, they actually put together the acronym, as well as the people who have been speaking and have done a great job thus far on all the presentations to help therapists understand how to work with this particular coronavirus.
There's a menu, and you can find the full list a few places on the APTA website, as well as OwensRecoveryScience.com. Topics and courses, including, you mentioned Ellen Hillegas, Heidi Engel, Steve Tepper, who actually taught me cardiopulm.
Oh, you poor guy.
in PT school. Morgan Johansson, Michael Tavald, John Lohman, see Jim Smith, Annie Downs, Mary Massery on posture and breathing, Larry, Johnny, you guys combined as well. Pam Bartlow has been on the show, Naomi Bauer. The list goes on and on. There is a plethora. It's a nice little menu, really relevant to this thing that came up and popped up and hit us out of nowhere.
You know, all the people you mentioned, they've done a great job with their presentations. And there are two outstanding presentations that haven't been done yet. One by a guy named Johnny Owens. He kind of pulled me alongside. And then another from myself and a former student, Magno Formiga from Brazil. And we're working on that. And I know Johnny and I have been working on this for a long time. We had a call today with a team in Zurich, Switzerland, and they gave us some information that we can hopefully make appropriate for the Physical Therapy Association here in the United States.
When you guys get a call like this, hey, we need you to come up with essentially clarion call type content to represent a profession like this. Is that what you do first? Do you reach out to colleagues, obviously in Europe, who were pretty much hit harder than we were before we were?
In some respects, I have, but I think, Johnny, you went out on the limb and you reached out to these guys because they were the only group doing BFR with individuals who have pulmonary disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And so no one else has really looked at it. There's been one review paper identifying the potential role. And we had a study that we were planning to do last month to start examining just at rest and then with minimal exercise, what happens when a person with pulmonary disease does BFR. In some respect, trying to get a little bit of that remote ischemic preconditioning story, but then also trying to identify, as we have with heart failure, what is an optimal limb occlusion pressure that we might be able to use for this patient population. It was really nice. I really enjoyed Johnny's presentation in Denver, and I was able to kind of piggyback off of what he presented so nicely at the combined sections meeting, and two other presenters did a great job, two former students of mine. It's really neat material, I have to say.
Johnny, working this. This is your bag. This is your jam. It's got to feel pretty cool for a couple of things. Number one, BFR getting the recognition on something so acute in an area where it's not sports performance, which I think a lot of people try to put BFR. What are you going to try to share in your presentation with Larry as it comes out through Pacer?
Well, that's part of talking with the fellows in Zurich this morning. There's a lot behind the scenes going on. And over the last couple of years, we've really shifted from not just the orthopedic and the military side, but moving into conditions that are much more acute or you know, people with these different comorbidities. So right off the bat, when Larry and I, you know, started kind of collaborating and figuring out how we were going to do this, you know, the one thing I said is like, look, let's start reaching out to some of these studies we have. You know, like last week, we just had a Parkinson's trial finish up. And so we were able to reach out to the head researcher on that and get some really cool information of how that patient tolerated it and a lot of fascinating stuff of what it did for vascularity. We have a diabetes trial going on with the German Diabetes Center, largest group in Germany that kind of tracks everything for the German government for diabetes, and learning from them with those patients of what limb occlusion pressures they can tolerate, what, you know, we think amount of exercise load they can do, what they're already seeing. So I think this is kind of what we can get that isn't published yet of what we know of trials that are going on. I've heard about this trial going on in Zurich since December, I think, and I've been meaning to reach out to them. And so, yeah, it's kind of cool because right now we just can't say like, hey, we have all this acute data. Let's throw it out there. But we do have a lot of stuff going on that's probably not published that people aren't seeing. It's awesome to see it go in this direction, man. It's cool.
How is it being accepted? Because, you know, as I mentioned a second ago, acute care physical therapists might not have, this BFR might not have been on their radar, might not have been in their treatment bag of tricks. Are they gravitating toward it? Are you seeing people reach out to you via your website, listening to your podcast and social media saying, what do you have for us? What do we need to be looking at? What do we need to know?
Yeah. You know, I think the way it worked out was perfect. You know, starting it during the wars in the DOD, on a patient that was really, you know, willing to do it, but was also pretty badly injured, that gained this acceptance. And then the pro teams and college teams, they picked it up and they were able to say, okay, you guys did it. It looks pretty safe. We're okay with our guys doing it. So they started doing it. And my goal is as we move forward, you know, it's like, okay, well, how can we do a study? How can we get some grant funding to see what really works? And so we had these DOD studies and we had all these orthopedic studies. More, I would speak at conferences or people would just reach out and say, hey, you know, it looks like it works post-op. What about with a total knee or a total hip? And so that was kind of this next step. And right. So then we're doing it on these elderly patients. And, you know, now, okay, what about pediatrics? You know, could we do it on them orthopedically? And so when we've been doing that, now it's moved on to pediatrics with neurologic problems. And we were looking at starting to, we just put IRB in for MS trial in Colorado. So it's just, you know, it started and everyone just keeps getting more and more acceptance and that acuity where people are like, okay, wow, yeah, I could maybe do this inpatient. It's almost kind of just naturally drifted that way, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think if we would have came right out of the bat and said, let's do this in acute care, you know, let's start this right off the bat. People would have been like, you're looking at me like I'm barbecuing kittens.
Right. And all right. So you just barbecuing kittens. I'm trying to keep that visual out of my head.
Texas, man. Yeah.
It's a very Texas saying. You mentioned where BFR came from, and you've mentioned this before on our show, is it came out of necessity. And we said necessity is the mother of invention. Question for both of you, because you're creating this content in Pacer and you're intimately involved in it. This feels like the moment where our profession came from, out of polio. It was necessity, and a bunch of people, rehabilitation aides, stepped up and said, we don't know what this is or how we're going to help, but we're going to figure it out. And now it feels like our profession is established. Next year, 100 years, then COVID hits. And to watch Pacer to come together with all this information, all the different components that are adding to it, this feels like a moment for our profession to stand up. Does it feel like that to you guys?
Yeah, I think so for sure. You know, I think your question about the acute care setting and, you know, how is it being accepted? I had a really nice opportunity just before this call to speak to the staff and administration at Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City. A former student of mine from BU is there and asked if I could help. So I've been helping them for several months since it started. And it was really neat, the discussions. They had a bunch of questions sent to me yesterday and I had a chance to review them. As you probably know, they're all orthopedic therapists, but they have really taken this particular situation. Like you said, they've learned what to do in terms of the cardiovascular pulmonary response and what's necessary for the patient population they're dealing with, because now they were made into a COVID hospital.
Right.
And they're taking care of the patients there and doing a great job in the acute care setting and the rehab, and just had a really nice discussion. So it's definitely, I think, being accepted. I talked about BFR, the potential role, certainly during the rehabilitation process, but then also in the acute care stage and what we've been thinking about and different things that might be advantageous in terms of even the lung tissue for these patients.
Let's go super basic and very specific about the presentation that you guys are collaborating on together with BFR for Pacer. I imagine you've got to start from the beginning and give people a level set, because you don't know their level of experience, which type of physical therapist, if they have a little bit of experience with BFR, what can they expect? Are there three kind of highlights you guys want to hit in terms of when they take this, they'll be able to walk away with ABC?
I've left that for Johnny to answer.
There you go. Do not mention barbecuing kittens, please.
Yeah, well, man. So, yeah, obviously, I think first, in the low-hanging fruit is, look, these people are deconditioned, and it's becoming pretty well established. I think we're understanding that you can do low-level exercise, and if you add blood flow restriction to it, you just get it seems like a better effect. And so that's the first point, is this is what blood flow restriction is, and just basically the application of it. And at the least, then we want to see what we can do to recondition these people, maybe from muscle quantity and quality to even maybe aerobic capacity. And then, you know, and Larry and I can geek out, you know, we're really even going down into potentially what's the immune response and, you know, what's happening at the endothelial level and with ACE2, where the COVID virus really likes to latch on, and is increased ACE shedding help with that? And so we could really go down this big wormhole. You know, there's some anecdotal stuff now, you know, if reducing reactive oxygen species might be really beneficial in these type of patients. It looks like with BFR, you don't get this free radical production, which you would with more intense type of exercise. So we could get kind of, you know, a lot of bang for your buck with maybe not some of the downside that you would get with pushing these people a little bit too hard. So that's what we're going to try and do, is kind of big overview, and then probably take it down if you want to geek out, get a little bit too sciencey, maybe. I don't know. And I'm going to let Larry go crazy sciencey because he's better at that.
I don't think so. Yeah. No, really good overview.
And again, we would want to mention, if you really want to get super sciencey and geek out, Johnny's got his very own podcast all about BFR, where they do just that. Owen's Recovery Science podcast, available on iTunes. Anything else you guys wanted to mention? Anything else that's really important in this moment about your course?
I'm just happy to be doing it with Johnny. And I thank you for doing this today. I think it's good to try to get as many people as possible to hopefully hear our message. And I think the message would be that, you know, certainly in the rehabilitation phase, that BFR could be a very beneficial thing for this patient population. And perhaps if we were to look at this more closely, maybe even in the acute care setting.
I think, Jimmy, you hit on it perfectly earlier, too. I mean, this is kind of this tipping point where our profession started with this just mass population of people that needed something. And I think it could be very easy to say, okay, well, you went through COVID and you survived. Now get on with life. And we're going to have to really get the message out there that their outcomes might not be that great. And, you know, I've kind of taken some time and looked at least the COPD data and the ARDS data. Man, readmission, it's just a train wreck for PTSD and everything else that happens. And so it's going to be on our profession, I really think, to try and keep these people from going back into the hospital, because right. that's like everything. The readmissions where they really go south.
I do not remember who said it today. I saw it on social media. It was shared by APTA, but the quote was generally this: even some of these people sitting at the edge of bed is going to be a Herculean effort for them. And I'm, preventing infection, preventing people from spreading the disease is definitely first and foremost. PTs, as our nature, are looking down the line saying this is going to have ramifications later and later and later for people who are otherwise healthy, for people who have survived this. Thank God. Now is our opportunity to make sure that we can help them with what we know as a profession. I'm excited to see how our profession is going to step up. Very pumped.
Yeah. Well, just getting all of us to start to collaborating on something like PACER is exciting. I'm proud of where it's all going.
The full list, again, you can find it at owensrecoveryscience.com, or if you just search for the PACER project on the APTA's website with multiple APTA components coming together. Thanks for doing this, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Awesome, man.
Now's a good time to grab a fresh one. The PT Pinecast will be right back.
Do you want to improve your skills as an orthopedic physical therapist? Do you want to practice at the top of your profession? Have you ever thought about earning your orthopedic clinical specialist certification? Well, imagine how great it would feel to go into the OCS examination feeling confident and prepared that you'll pass on your first attempt. If you were given a plan that was simple to follow, if you were given lessons that were easy to understand, and you were given sample tests that sharpened your skills. However you're comfortable studying, the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy's Current Concepts course can make you more prepared and confident for the OCS examination. But it can't help you unless you take the first step and make the investment. And today is your chance. Go to orthopt.org and take the Current Concepts course from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. That's orthopt.org and the Current Concepts course from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. All right, in the middle of the episode here, just heard from Larry and Johnny. Second half of the show, we'll get into Project 11 premiering on ESPN Friday, May 1st. You're going to want to watch that. Story told by Stefania Bell, physical therapist and head injury analyst for ESPN, telling the story of Alex Smith, quarterback for the Redskins, suffering a horrific injury, and now he's rehabbing. We get to look through that. We'll hear from Johnny, who's been a part of that rehab process. Want to thank our friends at Arias Medical Staffing for helping to support the show. If you're looking to travel the country as a physical therapist right now in the time of need, there are areas of this country that need therapists, and there are therapists that are looking for positions. Enter Arias Medical Staffing, AureusMedical.com. That's where you can find them. Positions in all settings in all 50 states right now. See what's available to you and how you can help. And let yourself do what you want to do, which is be a great PT in this time of need, where you want to do it and where the need is. AureusMedical.com. Go there now. AureusMedical.com.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
I don't want to brag or anything, but it feels a little bit like ESPN is following my podcast. One of the first episodes I ever recorded was actually at a brewery with a guy by the name of Seth Blee, followed up shortly after with an interview with Stefania Bell, and then not long after that with Johnny Owens. So, Johnny, you tell me, Project 11 seems a little bit like they're following my lead here.
Yeah, we were going to call it Project PT Pinecast, but I think you had some trademark thing and your lawyers wouldn't let us use it.
Could not do it. Been seeing the teasers for this on ESPN. And I still watch, I'll be honest, my friends are like, who are non-sports fans, like, what are you still watching sports for? My brother and I will sit here and we'll watch like a 1984 Rangers game or an old Yankees game. Honestly, we know the outcome. It's drama, but we do need the live sports back. But this is a great parallel, and I'll recap because I think when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, Alex Smith, whatever happened? Alex Smith, Skins versus the Texans. That's back on November 18th, sacked by JJ Watt and Kareem Jackson. He wound up with a spiral and compound fracture of the right tib fib, then sepsis, then near amputation, 17 surgeries up to that point in 2 years. That is insane. That's essentially it's just the intro. That's the beginning of Project 11. That's what we know. That's the facts. And then the rehabilitation comes in. So what do we have to expect in Project 11? You're involved in this. Seth Stefania tells the story. It's a great PT collaboration.
Yeah. 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 And Seth and I have been friends for a long time. So it's cool to be able to work with him a lot on this. And so, yeah, and the key component of his injury was it's an open fracture. And so what we learned from the wars is these open fractures are just going to be full of bugs when you're in an outside environment like that. And a football field has all sorts of bugs in it. And so unfortunately, he did get a just a really bad infection, and not only to the point of, is he going to keep his leg, but to a point of like, is he going to live? Yeah. And so it was pretty dark. And, I'm like you, I actually watched the game, like most people, you kind of freak out when you see that injury.
Yeah.
And then I was at a conference, I don't remember which one it was, in Vegas. And it was right after the injury, and Robin West, who I know you know as well, team doc for the Redskins. She's a good friend, one of my favorite orthopedic surgeons. She called me, and I was there and already had probably too many drinks. So at that point, I almost didn't take her call because I was, a little bit buzzed. But, she kind of laid it out that, hey, you're the first person I wanted to call on this because Alex is in this position of trying to decide keep his limb or go to amputation. She sort of gave her two cents, and she said she wanted to get my opinion. That was my wheelhouse. I saw his injury was just something I saw daily during 15 years of war. That's how the ball started. She called me, and then I gave her my opinion and what I thought. And then she said, can I have Alex's wife? He was still in the hospital. Can I have Elizabeth, his wife, call you and start discussing, kind of what you think? And that's how this thing started. So it's been going on for a while.
We're going to get to see really the journey from injury to where he is right now. And it looks like, and if you watched some of the promos, and again, as we record this, we're recording this a day before it comes out. So by the time you hear this, it will be out and available on ESPN. Looks like Alex and his wife Elizabeth gave pretty much unfettered access to this process.
Yeah, Alex, I think at the start it wasn't even about ever like, would this be cool to document that I might be able to return to football? It was maybe I should document this to show what it's like to have an injury like this and the trials and tribulations. And at that point, he's just like, am I going to be able to keep my leg and can I walk? That was really kudos to him. He wanted to document it and see if that helps people that might be in his same position. And then over time, it just kept evolving and we were seeing better kind of changes and things were moving along. And it's like, hey, should this become like, I'm going to try and get back and be a quarterback in the NFL again documentary?
And that's his goal, right? His goal is to be a professional quarterback.
Yeah. If you talk to him, he'll tell you, and I believe 100%, his goal is to be able to do stuff with his kids and just have a good life. So if you say what's his goal is like, I would like to be able to go hike and play with my kids. But yes, it is a driving factor that he wants to go back on the football field and not just like, hey, this is just for show. We're going to have Alex take a snap and throw it and go back out. It's like, I want to be a starting quarterback in the NFL again.
One of the most poignant pieces in the promo, which really drew me in, was I think the first time he actually threw a ball since the injury, He was doing it in rehab.
Yeah, that was with me. And it's cool to see it because I didn't see his face really, you know. Well, I was throwing the ball at him, with him at first, but I suck at football. So I had one of my techs actually start throwing it with him so I could go work with him a little bit. But yeah, seeing the close-up videos of his face light up during that, I didn't really see them. That was amazing. You know, I talked with him afterwards, right after we finished that little session, and he and his wife were both very emotional about how cool it was. He hadn't touched a ball. But yeah, I mean, that was an amazing day. That was our first real day. It'll come out in the piece. He got Secretary of Defense clearance to come work with the military to try and get back with a lot of the things we learned with limb salvage. So he was down at our military base down here doing that rehab during that portion.
So yeah. You mentioned a parallel is this is your wheelhouse. This is the thing that you've experienced is something similar, which is a lower leg injury that's really, really serious, could have potentially lost his leg. What are just some of the surgeries? In the promo piece, they mentioned he was actually really talking pretty high level. He was talking about which muscles they were moving there. Oh, yeah, this is what they were moving, my vastus lateralis, and they moved it, and this is a skin graft. I mean, these are similar surgeries to the injuries you were seeing when you were at the Center for the Intrepid?
1,000%. I mean, it was, you know, and we were able to not only articulate like, yeah, we understand what you went through. That's what, you know, we saw all the time, to even like, okay, this is your course that we think, and you're going to have this period where, you know, the bone maybe isn't healing like we were thinking it would. And do we need to take hardware out and try and go another option? And oh my God, you spike fever, you know, is the infection back? And so, you know, there's this roller coaster that you go through. But yeah, he went all the way from surgery, had to debulk, had to take away a lot of muscle, had to do these big muscle flaps, which if you're not familiar, it's just basically taking muscle from other parts of your body just to cover the bone down on his lower leg. Yeah.
And you could see it. It's you're in there with the camera and his rehab project with Project 11 going to be on ESPN by the time you hear this. Excited to see this and really to bring this full circle. When you get a call from Robin West, who again is the orthopedic surgeon for the Redskins and the Nationals, really just a leader in the DC area. When you get a call to bring it full circle, this is why you study BFR, because of injuries like this and situations like this. Now, when Alex Smith's wife calls you, you go, I've seen this before. Here are the ways that this could look.
Yeah, 100%. And having already a good relationship with Robin, you know, it is funny because I'm very close with the Houston Texans and, you know, done stuff with JJ Watt and stuff too. And it's ironic that, you know, with the Houston Texans head athletic trainer, actually, when one of the times we were there working with him at the Center for the Intrepid, he came down to just check out some of the stuff at the Intrepid. He didn't know Alex was there, and he was just like, holy crap, I'm sorry, man. I saw that happen on the other side. So yeah, it was crazy.
Excited to see three people that I've had the chance to meet. Great to see our profession in such a positive light. It's great to tell a human story in Alex Smith and get to show how rehabilitation really kind of plays a part in his life. So I'm excited to watch. You got one viewer at my house going to be glued to the TV, man. So I appreciate that. Research, information, if you want to get certified, plus the tools that you need to apply BFR, what we've been talking about this episode, in clinical practice, owensrecoveryscience.com. If you want to get even more niche, Johnny's podcast will go long form. Owens Recovery Science podcast available for you on iTunes. Johnny, appreciate you stopping by, man. Eventually, thanks. We'll have a beer and a kitten barbecue in person, I guess.
Once it's got to happen, man. Yeah. Well, don't piss off the cat people. They're crazy.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org. Our home on the internet. PT Pinecast.
buildpt.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.